This is the Rich Eisen Show.
UConn repeats, the Huskies back-to-back national champions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Where does this put UConn?
So this team will absolutely go down in history as one of the all-time greats. And what Dan Hurley has basically put himself in the Hall of Fame.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We were the best team in the country.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Ravens running back Derrick Henry, coming up, actor Jermaine Fowler, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, Derrick Henry's logging in on a Zoom, and we're going to chat with him shortly. That's how we kick off hour number three. If you missed the first 2 hours of this program, you missed Jay Billis giving his two cents on UConn's dominance to end the men's basketball tournament last night, taking on Purdue and just cutting down Zach Edey like a big maple tree, or letting him grow into a huge maple tree and then cutting down the rest. All the branches. He scored 37. The rest of Purdue scored 23, and UConn cruised to victory in the second half last night. We also had an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday segment. We just chatted a little bit of baseball about we love Ellie De La Cruz, and we're wondering about the Sacramento-ness of the A's. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll have some time for you. Jermaine Fowler, the actor in the new movie Sting that's available this Friday. He's in our green room ready to come out. If you missed any of it, as I mentioned, we re-air as soon as this show is over on the Roku channel. It's part of our relationship with Roku. We love them. They love us, which is great. We're thrilled to be here on this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Our YouTube page is there to catch up on anything as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Look who's joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of the best in the business. One of our favorite guests. He is Baltimore Ravens running back Derrick Henry, the Diminisher, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Derrick Henry?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing better for seeing you on my screen. I'm not going to lie. How's life?
Life's been good. Been real good.
Okay.
How about you on your end? Everything been good?
Sure. It's leg day for me. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Doing a little ab work. You know, did a little ab work today. Oh, by the way, Derrick, you have no idea. This morning, I planked for a full minute. A full 60 seconds. What do you think?
With video proof?
Video proof.
Ooh, wow. Call out.
Should I plank like right now? Can we do that?
For a whole minute?
Yeah, would you want to see me plank right now on live terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, Roku channel? Would you want to see me plank for a full minute?
You ain't got to do it right now. You can do it later. You ain't got to do it right now.
Derek said he believes you, Rich.
Thank you, Rich. Do it later. See? Post it and tag Derek, and then we'll see.
There you go. Yeah. That's better.
Yeah. I'm a 54-year-old man who already did his abs, and I was willing to do my abs again right now, Derek. Just, you know, that's the way I roll. That's the way I'm rolling right now.
I ain't doubting you, Rich. I just want to see it on video. That's it.
Okay, very good. Okay. You're welcome in advance is all I'm saying to you on that front.
Okay, cool.
So walk me through your year once everything ended with the Titans. Derrick, did you know that was basically it when you finished up the playing season in Tennessee, for you in Tennessee?
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling and, you know, the vibe that it was probably going to be my last time in Tennessee. You know, which was bittersweet. That's all I've known these last 8 years, and just had to have that mindset of starting over or going somewhere else, starting fresh, and just be prepared for anything to happen. Pray and pray every day, and that, you know, the good Lord will put me in the right situation and lead me to the right place. And he definitely did. So I'm glad and happy and excited for another opportunity for sure.
Yeah, by the way, you are the personification of a Raven, that's for sure. But before I get to that, I just want to hit a couple things on the Titans. Did you get a sense that things might be over for Mike Vrabel too there, Derrick?
I didn't really know how that was going to go. We didn't have the best year last year and in the year before, but we had all the injuries as well with guys going down, and you know, just a tough situation for us where we've been the previous years. I wasn't sure how everything was going to go on his side, but I knew that there would be changes. There would be changes made, and I just knew that as far as on my end, that I probably wouldn't be back.
Right. And so I imagine this was your first opportunity to choose where you wanted to play since leaving high school, right? For you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was the first time.
What was that feeling like for you, being a free agent?
Yeah, it was different. I didn't really know to expect, and I was just taking it day by day. I wasn't gonna get too overwhelmed with the whole process. And this, whenever that time came for me to figure out where I was going to go, just make that decision. Like I said before, I prayed on it, and I knew that I was at the right place when it was the right time. But it's definitely a different process than what I've done before, you know, because you just when you're with one team and you negotiate a deal, I mean, that's just a process with the organization. But, you know, when you got other teams involved, and, you know, it can get a little overwhelming. But, you know, I was just ready for opportunity and thankful that the Ravens gave me one.
So before you signed with the Ravens, how many teams did you have contact with?
It was really just two teams, really. But the Ravens were my number one choice, you know, going through the season and that trade deadline and that almost going down and knowing that they had interest. And I didn't know if they would have interest again during the free agency process. So, you know, I was just open to somewhere that would give me opportunity. But, you know, thankful that they, you know, still were interested, and we were able to get something done. So, no, everything happened the way it's supposed to.
So last year during the playing season, the Ravens knocked on the door at that time for you.
Yeah, they definitely. Okay. Yeah.
And you're willing to share who the other team is? Who was the other team, Derek? Who's the other team?
They're free agency.
Yeah, the other team. Yeah, the other team.
Houston poked around a little bit, but it wasn't really nothing too serious. That would have been crazy to even think about me going to that side. But yeah, I think it was just like a little bit of interest, but the Ravens showed the most. Sure.
Of course. Did the Cowboys never ring your phone up, Derrick Henry? That never happened?
Never happened. Okay. Which I'm not mad, because I ended up in Baltimore, so it worked out.
No.
Perfect for me.
And I totally understand, you know, why, you know, me even poking around could be viewed by you in any way, shape, or form as, or for anybody out there to take it that, you know, you might not be happy with the way things worked out. Obviously you are, and it's apparent why, because they love running the ball, and more do they love the style that you bring to the game. But, I mean, Cowboy fans were dreaming of you with a star on the side of your helmet. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff out there talking about me wanting to go to the Cowboys, and quotes from the Pivot podcast I did. But just to make things clear, I wanted to be a Raven. They were my number one choice. Like I said before, I didn't know going into free agency if they were still being interested, which they were. And I was happy that they were, because that's where I wanted to go. I felt like they fit me. Their culture fits my style. And, you know, if they wasn't, then I thought the Cowboys would have been a good place for me as well, because I stayed in the off season. I've been here for a long time. I trained here, so, you know, it was right down the street. So that's why they would have been another option, and they're a great organization as well. But I ended up at the right organization with the right team. I have a great coach. I have a great culture. And I'm excited for the opportunity.
All right, let's fire up Ravens fans, Derrick Henry. Let's do it. You're standing next to Lamar Jackson pre-snap. What are you thinking? What happens, do you think, here, Derrick?
I just tell eight, you know, lead, and I'm going to be right behind you. It's his team. I'm just coming in to try to enhance it in any way, do my job the best way I know how, help the offense, just try to be an adding piece to get us over that hump to hopefully contend for the big one, But I know that you got to put the work in first, starting in the off season, and I'm a new guy on the block, so got to earn that respect from those guys who've been there, who put the work in, and who's helped establish that culture while they've been there as well.
You know, the Ravens use fullbacks too. You know that they have a fullback.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Have you big guy? Seen him on film a lot, so I'm definitely familiar with him, yeah, for sure.
Mr. Ricard gonna beam you up.
Yes, sir.
So he I can't imagine a blocking back for you, or you're there at the mesh point with Lamar, and who the hell knows who's got it, right? I mean, like, is this part of the conversations you guys had, you and the Ravens together, before you dotted lined it, Derek?
Oh, no, not really.
Okay.
I think it was just getting through the whole free agency process. And then, you know, when we get back, everybody get back in the building, which is probably next week. And, you know, as time goes on, have those conversations. But didn't want to dial right into it right off the bat. You know, just probably want me to get adjusted to how they do things. And then once everybody get back, get to know everyone. And then as we get on the field and time progresses, then have those conversations and do those things on the field. So
what conversation you have with Lamar, if you don't mind me prying? What did you talk about, the two of you guys?
No, we haven't really talked that. He was just, you know, acknowledging that I signed. And, you know, I was just like, yes, sir. I'm ready. I mean, he's probably enjoying his off season. It's a long season for now. I'm just excited to play with a player like Lamar and the caliber player and all the dynamic things he brings to our offense.
Man, they love running the ball too in Baltimore, Derek. I mean, like, this is, and they love being physical. It just seems like, honestly, when I heard you sign there, I'm like, this is a perfect. Did you hear from Ray? Did Ray reach out to you? Did Ray Lewis reach out to you?
I actually talked to Ray at the Super Bowl quite a bit.
Was he arm twisting a little bit?
No, I mean, not really.
Okay.
We're just talking and having conversations.
Okay.
And I told him about the trade stuff during the season. He was just, you know, just conversating back. But, you know, his passion about, you know, that organization and about that culture, you know, kind of excited me. And, you know, he was just excited about me playing there. And definitely appreciate Ray and taking his time out to, you know, give me advice. And, you know, he's one of the greatest. So anytime he talks, you want to listen.
Derrick Henry, a few minutes left with the new Baltimore Raven here on the Rich Eisen Show. And now I want to give you the floor here on the state of the running back position. You have reached the dreaded age of 30, Derrick Henry. And you know what people say about running backs at age 30 and how it's now going to be diminishing returns instead of you being the diminisher, which is my favorite nickname I've given out to anybody who's actually accepted one for me. But bottom line is, what do you say to people who think you're 30 and you've got tread on your tires that are a little bit worn? What do you say about this being a 30-year-old running back, Derek?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people always going to have something to say. People are always going to talk. I just trust in my training and what I do. And let it show once that time comes. I mean, that's just the way of the world. People got opinions. People going to talk. I'm interested in going out there and making stuff happen, putting the work in, doing everything that's required to be a great player in this league and be a consistent player, and then let it show when that time comes. I worry about all the talk and what people say, and I can't do my job effectively and be who I am. So it is what it is.
Well, it's an incredible commitment, obviously. And so how much longer do you want to do this?
As long as the good Lord let me. I love this game. I've been playing since I was 5 years old. That's when I fell in love with it. So as long as I can go, I'm going to keep going out there and giving it my all.
You're not like looking at somebody eating a pizza going, man, I would love to do that. You know, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
No, because then I have to hit you up when we have to do planks and all that.
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time, Derek. Okay. I would plank. You know that. I dared to do it right here on live television. So,
oh, yeah,
you know, I know what my cheat day looks like. Do you have a cheat day? Do you have any cheat days at all?
I have some cheat days here and there.
What does it look like?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You got to.
Come on. What is it? Like an extra almond or something? Like, seriously, what does a cheat day look like for Derrick Henry? Come on. What is that?
Like, I love a good burger. I love a good burger.
How so? Like, what's your favorite burger? What is it?
Oh, and it's hard.
He's got to be Whataburger if he's in Texas, right? Whataburger?
Okay, careful.
I love Whataburger for sure. I love Whataburger.
Okay.
You can never go wrong with Whataburger. I mean, any like restaurant I go to, I don't have like specific, but I just love like a good burger. That's a good cheat meal for me. I'm a big breakfast meal person. I love breakfast. That's my favorite meal of the day.
Okay.
I have to have breakfast.
So what? So
and I don't eat until like 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock every day. So
what? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Your first meal of the day is 2 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes?
I haven't eaten yet. I'm on your show. See, I haven't eaten yet.
Am I holding up lunch?
That's
breakfast?
How much I love you, Rich. I'm on the show with Rich right now.
So what, you do a morning workout on an empty stomach? Is that what you're doing?
On an empty stomach, Rich. I cannot have no food in my stomach. Can't do it.
So what I'm seeing
only
you...
thing is my stomach is water. That's it.
So wow. When I'm seeing you do this insane stuff, you're on an empty stomach? There's nothing?
Empty stomach.
What the hell? Well,
are
I
you
guess
writing all this down, Rich?
No, I'm not. I'm hoping you are. Because you know I'm running in 2 weeks for my charity run. I'm running in 2 weeks, Derek. I'm running.
How long is the run? Like, what is it?
My 40. It's my 40-yard dash every year.
Okay.
You know, for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I'm running my 40 at the Rose Bowl, which, you know. I'm going to be there. And, you know, in my suit and tie, I'm going to run it for charity. And I've cut weight. And I'm hoping that'll make me faster. You know, that's what I'm doing.
I'm thinking 4-9, Rich.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You're one of my favorites, Derek. You know exactly what to say to me. Thanks for the time. And I know, again, you just, I appreciate you accepting the invitation. I know you're just hanging out on an empty stomach, just chilling out. And I appreciate you zooming in, Derek.
Thank y'all for having me. Anytime you send an invite, I'm coming on, Rich.
I love it. Look out for it, because I can't wait to see what you do in Baltimore. And the Ravens fans are, every Raven fan I know is jacked up. They are fired up that you're going to be out there in purple for them. So go crush it.
All right, Rich. I'll take care.
You too. That's Derrick Henry. He's going to go eat and maybe work out. And I'm going to go plank. I'm going to plank. You think I'm not kidding?
Like now?
I'm happy to do it. I mean, we have a guest in the green room who's sitting there waiting to come out.
Okay.
Be weird, just like, you know.
Sorry, I'm
well, like
I'm,
150 I'm, or
wait a minute.
I
was here. I nailed my call time, but suddenly Rich is planking.
150 or 150?
Yeah. How
excuse
doing?
Me, sir. I can truly plank.
But you have to do it like Derrick Henry does. Like, you got to balance yourself on the bands on an empty stomach. You know what I mean?
Like, he's got a chain around his neck with weights
hanging
from
giant chains, weights hanging on. Everyone's yelling at him.
You know, he says he's a big breakfast guy, but I don't eat till 2. That's not breakfast. This just in.
Yeah, you're not breaking a fast.
That's Linner.
That's second breakfast. If you watch.
That's brunch.
No, it's Linner. That's Linner.
Lunch and dinner.
Second breakfast.
Second breakfast from
Dunch.
Okay. Lord of the Rings.
Dunch.
Dunch.
Dinner.
No, it's lunch before dinner. So Linner, breakfast before. And, okay.
I before E, except after C. Oh,
Jermaine Fowler is next.
You said you was all right.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back. back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We're one big happy TV and radio streaming and live family with Jermaine Fowler, who we spoke to, I believe, when you were in Coming to America, too.
That 2018?
Yeah, it was back in the day, man.
Wow.
Well, it's been a minute, but good to see you.
You too.
I said to you, like, as you come out here for our radio audience, you're wearing a Michael Waltrip NASCAR jacket. I'm like, wow, you're coming out with NASCAR. And where did you get this?
I stole it from you.
Oh, very good.
It was in the green room. It was in the closet. I just took liberties. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
It fit, though.
You want to take it?
No.
Okay. You may have.
I can, right?
My stuff is yours.
Thank you.
Even if I had no idea it was.
Okay.
Now I'm learning it.
It's a lot of clothes in there, man.
It's because I was literally about to see. I've been here 10 years, you have a wife and family, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything that you see here is stuff that my wife basically said, don't keep at home. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff that you see here is like, you know where that would look better?
It's nice, though.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
So this is your home away from home?
Well, certainly this NASCAR jacket would not fit in my household right now. That's for sure.
It smells like it was 10 years old. And I dig it, though. I feel like a rapper from the 2000s.
It smells like Waltrip. I was going to say, wait a minute. I didn't know you were a NASCAR fan.
I wish I was. But this jacket gives the vibe, right?
It makes you look like you got sponsors.
I'm going to do some Google research.
The movie Sting, available in theaters nationwide this Friday. I'll give you the floor to describe what it is about, because it is something I've never really heard about. Go for it.
That's good to know. Sting is about a little girl who befriends an intergalactic spider that mm-hmm. wreaks havoc on her apartment complex. And I don't want to get too much away, but
But the spider grows and grows and grows.
The spider gets bigger and bigger the more it eats.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it starts eating bugs, then it starts eating birds, and then it'll get hungrier for other things.
And then we see the movie poster, and the bug is taking up most of the ceiling.
Yeah. And shout out to the special effects department. They killed it. No pun intended. They killed it. The spider was animatronic. There's a CGI, but the practical effects were there too, and it's beautiful.
I'll be straight up with you, Jermaine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 10-year-old daughter. At home, uh-huh. who is spider averse.
Okay.
This 12-year-old is not spider averse in your film.
No.
Pretty much. So it's not based on my daughter, because she would run out of the room. Like, this is her night. This is nightmare fuel.
I'm spider averse. I don't like spiders.
So then how?
Because.
So are you facing your fears and taking this role for this film?
I thought it was a CGI spider until I saw the the animatronic. I was like, oh, I got to act with that. So that was wild. But growing up, I was afraid of little spiders. Not big spiders. Little spiders, like arachnophobia, those size spiders.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Dude, yo. So they always freaked me out, especially that scene, you know, when they were trying to escape out of the bathroom at the end of the movie. And they were kind of like threading down
from
the ceiling. You know what I mean? And that freaked me out when I was a kid. So ever since then, no spiders for me.
That film taught me the word for fear of spiders. It was educational.
Yo.
I did not know arachnophobia was that.
It was okay for spiders. I had to study that movie for this movie.
Because, is that right?
Well, I loved it, and it was the most popular. Well, that Electric Freaks are probably the biggest ones, but John Goodman's character was the exterminator and arachnophobia. So I watched him, and I love John Goodman, so it was cool to revisit the film, and I haven't done that since I was a kid.
That's cool.
I also went around my neighborhood to get research from, I was like researching different pest control.
Okay.
Businesses.
Did you go out on like patrol? Yeah.
I went to Orkin. I went to a bunch of places, try to like tell them like, yo, I need some. And they were like,
whoa,
what are you doing? And I'm like, my movie. And they were like, okay, well, and they gave me some advice. It was pretty cool, man.
Please tell me any of these exterminators or pest control individuals that you were on patrol with didn't say, oh, I once had a spider that kept growing with more and more that it ate. And
thank God, no.
Okay,
no
one did
that. But that was, I mean, we filmed this in Australia, and I have this joke where, like, I tell people that because we filmed in Australia, we used actual, that's an actual spider.
Because those things, I mean, I've seen videos of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was my first time filming in Australia, and my hotel room, you know, I get there, mm-hmm. and I was going to use the bathroom. I lift the toilet up. Guess what was in the toilet?
Tarantula?
Not a tarantula, uh-huh. but it was this creepy looking, I don't know what type of spider it was, but it said hello, and I closed the lid up, and I walked away. And that was my introduction to Australia.
What?
Yeah, yeah. It was wild.
Now, that's seeing something down under. Hey, now, what'd you think? What'd you think? Great. I mean, that's just what I thought of.
Not every host can do that. Thank you, that's something Chris. That you bring to the table.
I'm very impressed, Rich. I thought that was nice.
Especially Jermaine, you notice he doesn't have a teleprompter. He
I don't need this. I don't need this now. Neither does Jermaine. We're here for him. Stop. Jermaine Fowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so did you take in any of the WrestleMania over the weekend?
Are you serious? Yes. Come on, man. I loved it. Night one, good. Night two, epic. I thoroughly enjoyed the ending. Cody is the second time facing Roman, so it felt like it was right. It felt right, and I'm happy. I'm happy about it. I love Roman. Roman's probably he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that Cody finally beat him. I also love the Gunther match. That was amazing.
TJ was there. He went to Philadelphia.
You were in Philly?
Yeah, I was there both nights. Yeah.
Was the first night cold as hell?
It was about 49, 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah,
it was free. I felt bad for them. They had heat lamps above the ring.
Who'd you feel bad for?
Just the wrestlers. They're out there basically in their underwear.
Yes. Right.
And I'm out there with a long sleeve shirt, a t-shirt, a jacket, a hat, a scarf.
Yeah.
Some socks, you know, and they're out there.
My
gosh,
you were all bundled up, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the seat that he's got next to him right there, too?
I do.
He brought it back.
Oh.
He checked that. He checked that as a checked baggage.
Yeah,
this was a whole thing in the airport, but the ladies there in Philly, they were very nice. They made sure that.
Philly was nice to you?
Well, the ladies at the airport were nice to
me. Oh, okay,
you.
Okay.
They made sure. I was like, when we had this thing all wrapped up, and I was like, let me look at it because I think this is the last time I'll see it. And the lady was like, no, baby, you're going to get your chair back. So
you are so lucky,
yeah,
dude.
I did, yeah.
Man,
he also told nobody he was a Cowboy fan, so he got to.
Yeah,
he kept that under wraps.
Walking through the bowels of Eagle Stadium around all that, and just like,
yeah, how are you? I didn't ask you about that.
Yeah, I put my head down and I walked.
I'll tell you what I told him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm not that, you know, diehard or where I'm into every aspect of wrestling, but I see enough to pick up on things. I have a problem with The Rock being a heel.
Again, you do?
I do.
That's how we.
Because I thought
he started,
turned a page. I know how he started.
Oh.
Then he turned into, you know,
Hollywood Rock.
Yeah,
Nation of Domination Rock. Yeah,
yeah, right. I mean, again, I've got a 10-year-old daughter at home, as
corporate
I told you.
Rock.
We've seen Moana multiple times.
I hear you. I get it. You know,
like,
the Rock.
That's The Rock.
I get it. That's,
you know,
your
what I
Rock.
Mean? That's
I get
my
it.
Rock.
But he has more fun being a bad guy. Yeah. You can tell.
And by
he
the way, it's the fans' fault, Jermaine. Like, they could have cheered him. But the Cody Crybabies came out.
That's true. That's
so
true.
He had to pivot, much like you pivot, Rich, here on the show without writers or teleprompters.
I'm not. I don't play a heel, pivoted, though.
And he turned into the heel.
You're not enjoying this Rock right now?
I don't.
What?
I don't like it.
Why?
I want him to be very likable.
He's
and I
doing
don't.
His job.
But it is likable. I think it's very likable. That's the Rock I grew
Look
up with.
Him.
So that's where I get it. I understand, though. I understand. But this is the Rock I remember. And it feels like I'm back in the Attitude Era.
So
the
were you disturbed by him being a nice guy then? Like, were you thrown off by him being the guy who, you know, jokes around with Kevin Hart and sings songs for Disney movies?
Because when he left, he was still a bad guy when he left, and he did some movies, and the movies were, listen, what was it, the one with Sean William Scott that he did in Brazil?
Rundown.
Yeah. Rundown is one of my favorite action movies. So when he did that, I just, you know, all the good guy stuff, like, it didn't matter because the movies are so good. So, like, he came back, he was good guy Rock, you know, telling the audience how much he loves him, how much he misses him.
Right.
And then after Cody and him had the feud and they had to pivot, it makes sense. You kind of got to go with the crowd. That's what a smart wrestler kind of does. And he knows the business better than anybody. So
right.
I thought what he did was very smart. And on top of that, him telling Arizona to go smoke some crack was one of my favorite lines.
How hard was it when he said it too?
He said it was three syllables. Crack. Yeah, crack. It was amazing. And I replay that clip over because it makes me happy. It is so funny. I've been to Arizona. Yeah. So that was cool.
Jermaine, did you have to see Raw last night?
I only saw the clips. I only saw what did I see? I saw Cody's pro. Well, Triple H's promo that led to Cody's, and it was great. But I missed a lot of the highlights.
So Rock came out, and the fans are booing him. And Rock goes, "Hey, Philadelphia, you broke another record." And they're like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah, you are officially the biggest gathering of trailer park trash I've ever seen in my life.
I've ever seen."
And they lost it.
It's wonderful. That's all they want. That's what they want. Philly loves that stuff, man.
You want to be insulted by
they
the
do.
Rock.
They do. Remember thing. That Bill Burr clip? Of him trashing Philly back in the day.
No, I don't mind, you know, but that's Bill Burr.
Yeah, that's true. You expect it. I get it. They earned that night. They earned it that night.
Yeah.
But listen, when The Rock does it, I understand. It's not the same Rock you're used to.
Yeah.
But this is The Rock I am used to, and I'm having a great time.
In his heart, at his core, The Rock, even when he was a good guy, was a heel. You know,
yeah. Well, listen. At some point, people are gonna love you for what they hated you for. You
no
know,
doubt,
and
yeah.
at some, he never really changed at all. Only thing that changed about him when he was a good guy
was wrestling. Him,
yeah, he just kind of acknowledged the crowd a bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, just being more of a sweetheart, so to speak,
right?
More charming. But this is a part of his charm too.
Being a heel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How long is the heel gonna last?
For him,
hopefully for a while.
Well, as long as Cody's a good guy. Yeah. If him and Cody are feuding, I think he'll be a heel for as long as that feud goes. Or until maybe
SummerSlam
Roman.
In August.
Yeah, we'll take that to SummerSlam.
SummerSlam
right?
In August?
Who knows? I think he'll pivot either when someone turns on him, kind of like maybe Roman or someone, a part of his stable. So I don't know. But this bad guy thing, it don't really last too long until someone helps you turn, you know? For him, it was the audience.
But maybe it's me. Can I help him?
Yo, Rich and the Rock?
Yeah.
Jermaine, I'm trying to tell Rich he needs a Versace vest and some shades, man.
Like, yo, let's get you some Versace, dude.
I mean, that sounds good.
Hey, look, I'm taking this jacket. I'm getting you a Versace vest.
That's a deal.
Fair trade.
That's a deal.
Has Dwayne been here on the show?
No, he has not.
What?
He
probably
not.
Couldn't fit in his chair anyway.
That's probably true.
Since we're on this... You did Ricky Snicky. What was it like with John Cena?
Are you serious? So again, another thing I got to check off my bucket list was doing something with John. I love John Cena. Zac Efron, wonderful. Andrew Santino, hilarious. Like an William H. Macy. Come on, everyone was great.
That movie was so funny, by the way.
Thank you,
Brad.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Thank you very much, man. We had a great time making that joint, man. And again, shot that in Australia right after this movie, Sting.
Okay.
Yeah, out in Melbourne. And
By the way, said that like you're an Aussie.
Melbourne?
Yeah.
They'll correct you.
I don't know. I'm from New York. I would call it Melbourne, right?
Melbourne. They'll correct you with a buck knife in their hand. It's Melbourne. And I'm like, all right.
Well, then I wouldn't get it wrong again.
Okay. But John was great. And I helped him with his promo. He did for the Go Home show last year with Austin Theory.
Oh, you helped him with that?
Yeah, that was fun, man. That was
How'd
cool.
you help him with that?
So we were just yapping about... the scene when I'm in their workplace, okay. when he hired me to be his attaché, we talked about what he was going to do with Austin Theory, and he was trying to come up with some ideas, and we just workshopped some stuff, and I wrote some notes down, and some talking points in my notes section in my phone. I sent it to him, and we went.
So what line did he use that you were most proud of that wound up in the promo?
He used most of it, but like the line I'm most proud of was probably him calling Austin Theory that, just a theory of a wrestler. And that blew my mind. And it was so much. It was, I've always wanted to help like with a program like that, with like some sort of promo.
Wow,
and
cool.
It was like, it was cool, man.
You're a factor.
Yeah,
as we like to say in the sports world, you're a factor.
That's dope,
do you got a good Eddie Murphy story?
Dude, on set. Let's see. He's a generous dude. He's so cool. When we did Coming to America, he allowed the production to, you know, he gave us a chef. So, like, on set, he would, you know, we had some really good food.
No, that's good.
This is Eddie's chef just cooking for us and stuff. That was a highlight. But as far as, I've Eddie's like Eddie, man. So, anytime, like, he talks, you listen, you know. And
sure.
You know what I mean? So it was just, it was really, man, it, I was like pinching myself every day. Like, just like, wow, I'm working with, you know, my idol.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, congrats on everything going on with you. Sting's available in theaters nationwide this Friday, April 12th. Be sure to see it with you, Jermaine Fowler. Thanks for coming on, bro.
Thanks for having me. You got it.
And the jacket's yours. Honestly, I didn't know it was mine, so clearly I wouldn't miss it.
That's how gifts work.
That's how.
Thank you, Rich.
Jermaine Fowler with a five-finger discount, leaving the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with the Tiger Woods latest in a moment. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are, having a good time.
Rich, that should have been my eclipse moment.
What was?
I would have wanted to eclipse the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
I mean,
instead of what you said yesterday?
Wow. Yeah, because I'd rather them not win any.
I did get my buddy Paul texted me. He goes, how did you not choose Appalachian State beating Michigan as the moment to eclipse out of my brain?
Yeah, you can't really live that one down.
Well, I mean, but that's just a regular season game. This was a game. The one I chose was game 7 of the World Series. And I was there covering it, and then a member of my favorite team put his phone number on a baseball and flipped it to my future wife, who he knew I was dating.
We still have to do more
so
research.
So, by the way, so you're certain.
And the number of people that have texted me, who is that?
And you still won't tell? It's not your story. I get it.
It's not my story to tell.
I respect it about you.
It's the best mom ever.
I respect
and she will be
you.
In this chair soon enough, and you will have
let me write this
the
down
ability
so
to ask her, and she will have to answer or not. So.
You need a big note with that on it.
There's all of that.
Susie.
In the meantime, what's going on with El Tigre? You said you had...
He looks great. He looks great. He's out there swinging, striping the ball in the range. Played a practice round today with JT and Freddie Couples.
Okay.
And a lot of guys were doing their media availability, their you know, kind of podium presser stuff today.
Okay.
Tiger talked about what Augusta means to him.
Well, this term has meant so much to me in my life and my family. I think I've been playing here for 29 years now, and it has it was the ultimate to be able to stay in the crow's nest and to watch Byron and Sam and Gene tee off on the first hole. It's been a part of my life to have won here as my first major as a pro, hugging my dad as you saw, and then full circle in 19 to hug my son. It has meant a lot to my family. It's meant a lot to me, and I always want to keep playing this. And today we got a chance to play with Fred, and Fred's been here a very long time, and we're joking that. He's the oldest person ever to make a cut, and I think he can do it again this year. So it's great. I mean, that's the neat thing about this golf course, and it's the only major we play on the same site, the same venue, each and every year, and we get to tell stories and catch up with friends, and for me, get a chance to catch up with the idols and the people that I've looked up to my entire life.
I love it. Good Lord, do I love it. And love it. By the way, Fred Couples is 64 years of age. And Tiger turns 50 next year.
Wow. I would Marking be stunned. Time, I'd man. Be stunned if he played 15 more. Talk about Freddie still playing at this age. I would be shocked if Tiger's playing into his 60s, but you never know.
Never know either. And he makes an interesting point that name me another venue that hosts a major sporting event every year that has its own personality.
Yep.
I can only think of one other one. One other one, and it's the Rose Bowl.
Churchill Downs, a little.
Churchill Downs, not a bad one.
Indy 500,
Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Daytona, maybe.
Daytona, maybe.
But I mean,
not like this.
No.
Where it's
a character in the movie every year.
It is.
The golf course.
Right.
We know the holes. We know them specifically, the back nine in particular. We know all of them.
And the back nine.
Where you're supposed to hit it.
And the back nine is set up to allow for a major comeback.
Right. Yep.
You know, it's almost as if, you know, you can get like a, if they added like a 3-point conversion in football, right? Where you can set something up so somebody can come from way back with just a couple of swings.
Yeah, they're kind of begging you. Like, if you have the gumption and the stones to take the chances,
yeah,
you can come back and win this thing.
And every hole has its own set of memories as well.
If you don't, right. Like we saw in 19, you know, three guys hit it in the water ahead of Tiger in 19, and that's why he was able to take the lead and finish it off. But it's the best. It's the greatest tournament ever.
It really
I
is.
Love it. I love I'm it so much.
And he's right. Like, so the U.S. Open is in a different place every year, and it rotates for the Open Championship, and it rotates for the PGA Championship. I guess the Players Championships at Sawgrass every year.
Yeah, it's always at the same division in golf.
And it just looks so beautiful. It just pops off your screen, and it gets better with age, which is a rarity.
And technology looks so good on
the camera. I think we've all gotten better with age.
I'm obviously biased when it comes to the Rose Bowl. It's a huge event. It's just huge stake every now and then. It is for a national championship. This year it was for the right to play in a national championship.
That's true.
It does have a long history. But I guess the Brickyard does too, right? So Churchill Downs clearly does. Where it's the same venue, there's a lush history where, you know, greatness has occurred here year in and year out.
And kind of like the Masters, it's the first leg of the horse racing Triple Crown. First major each year.
Where the victor has a chance to create a Grand Slam or a Triple Crown.
Right.
And everyone else does not.
I like that.
Yeah, man. Pretty cool. Is that all Tiger had to say? Is that all we got from Tiger?
Yeah, and of course someone asked him, you know, you think you can still win here? And he kind of did his, what do you think? Of course I can.
Are you? Who?
That's a kind of a question each year, you know. Do you feel like you can still win?
What is he going to say?
Nah, I'm tired.
I don't know. Tiger's been pretty honest over the years about how he feels about his body and his game.
But that's like asking somebody of Kobe, Jordan, Serena mindset.
True.
When showing up to this event, you know, are you just here to, you know, play out the string, Tiger, or do you think you can really do it?
Well, Tiger had said before the year he wanted to play once a month leading up to the Masters.
Right.
He wanted to get more reps in than he had in the past, you know, recently. And, you know, he only played a day and a half at Genesis, and that's all he's played. That's all we've seen him. So no one really knows what he's going to look like.
Well, actually, I'm told that we do have one more soundbite from Tiger about the reason why he withdrew it. Genesis is he wasn't ill. He was just trying to avoid Chris Brockman. Here we go. No, wait a minute. We don't have that sound.
Pulled into the parking lot, get the notification, Tiger is withdrawn.
And you saw an actual ambulance that was there?
What was going on? Yeah.
What took him out?
And then you kind of, well, it was whatever. Or somebody. Or whatever he said, yeah.
Influenza, if you remember.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote that.
No idea.
That press release.
Major bummer.
Also was around for the League of Nations, apparently. Being formed, to use the term influenza. See,
look at us, huh?
You know, I'm not going to stop tooting your horn today.
I take the Tiger cheese every year. How can you hear a soundbite like that and not?
About what?
Taking the Tiger cheese. How can you not, Chris?
I'll take the Tiger cheese every time.
I know, nostalgia is the most powerful drug.
I would love nothing more for Rory McIlroy to do what we have all been expecting him to do or hoping he can do. And every time the cheese stands alone.
I do.
What is that from?
That's Tiger Woods.
I'm saying like about...
I don't know where it came from.
I think that's what you... Do you think you can win?
I do.
That's what it is. That's him answering that same damn question every year.
It is.
I do.
I love it.
You know?
Do you, Chris, take the Tiger cheese?
I do.
Okay.
Thank
you. Very good.
Black and gold. Here we go.
I don't know. TJ, do you believe the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl one day?
I mean,
No.
I do.
You're doing requests now, Mike.
Sure, I've got one more. Do you think you'll ever be in the mindset, despite being an all-time great champion, of instead of trying to win your own tournament, Do you think you come into the mindset of withdrawing just to avoid Chris Brockman?
I do.
Right?
I mean, he said it, not us.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
The end leaving. Of the show. Fun.
Here it comes.
Oh, my God.
My eyes see.
We can't have that as our news update for the Masters. Simple.
We can't.
A simple end of story.
Mike, we got a whole day.
What are you going to cook up?
We got 24 hours.
Do we have one
to
from last year? I mean, we should use a
previous. My eyes see.
We I have to make one
we
up.
Need birds chirping.
No, I don't think we have one. But we got.
Let's reach out. Let's figure out a Rich Eisen Show Masters
right,
update.
Totally, Pacino's got to be in it, though.
How?
He's got, either my eyes see or here it comes.
Pacino, we can't get Pacino
no,
in
no,
there.
No, no, no. Mike, sometimes just, we you know, the obvious classy. Doesn't need to, you know, yeah, classy.
Like right here.
Here it comes.
No, update, no a tradition unlike any
no.
other. A tradition
you want
unlike
piano music?
Any
I can
other.
Search for. I'll search for some good.
You know what? We're just going to take it out of your hands. You're going to be. You're coming in hungover tomorrow anyway because you're celebrating your 19th Tech Emmy Award honor for Fox.
How many 19th? Noms is this for you now?
Right. Oh, I'm up in the 30s.
He's up in the 30s.
Easily, maybe 40.
Congratulations to you,
I'm
Mike.
I'm not telling him congrats today. Maybe tomorrow.
No, I'm tired.
Well,
fine.
Congratulations.
Yes, exactly. Which I say to all
Mike,
those who are nominated.
Job. You do a great job, Mike.
I'm a jackass.
I say to all those who are nominated. True. So congratulations to all, you know, and just all, just pack a dinner is all I say for those who are going to go to the event.
Outrageous. This is completely BS.
It is not. No. It's not. Thanks for taking in this show. Thanks to Jermaine Fowler, Derek Henry, just hanging out on an empty stomach, zooming in, and Jay Billis. We will chat again on Wednesday.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.